Have you ever? Have you ever been told the compliment someone else wants you to tell them? Tell me I look good in this light. Tell me I did a good job. Tell me, have you ever been told the compliment that someone else wants to receive? Well, I'd like to tell you the compliment I'd like for you to give to me. If you were to come to me, just hypothetically speaking, of course, if you were to come to me and say, Jake, good sermon. It sounded exactly like last week's sermon. I would say to you, thank you. Thank you. That is a compliment that I will receive. You see, the good news and the bad news is that this week's sermon, like last week's sermon, is like last week's sermon, which is like last week's sermon. And we may pray a different prayer. We may arrange another piece, and we may preach from a different standpoint or angle, but really, each and every week, we're only telling the one story there is to tell. My brothers and my sisters, it is Groundhog Day, and you are Bill Murray. Now, it would help if you came to church more than one week in a row. We'll discuss that another day. A little dig. That was for fun. We really only have one story to tell. There is only one story to tell, and that is the story of what it means to be alive, that God has given us life and hope and grace and love. It is each time that we gather, particularly in this sacred space, that we have the opportunity to hear the same story again. And there are certainly, I use the word opportunity because there are certainly moments in which we cannot or do not hear the story again. It is well understandable that as we walk through grief, the weight of life might distort, might even impede our ability to hear the story. And for those of you who are experiencing grief, we love you. We are with you. Hang in there. You're not missing a sermon that's worth listening to anyways. You may have walked into this space with so much frustration in your life that all you can hear is the discomfort of a supervisor or a direct report. You bring all of your work, all of your business is in this space with us now. We all each struggle with our own egos, our own desire to look good, our own desire to have a nice ride, our own desire to come off as smart or successful, our own desire for some of us to have a lot of Instagram followers. Our ego can get in the way of hearing the story that is so much bigger than our own selves. Believe it or not, that which is being reported or that which is not being reported about what may or may not have taken place in Washington can distract us from the story of all stories. It's possible that we do not or we cannot hear the one true story here today. And this season and this space in life in which you find yourself can allow for you to hear and experience the love and the hope and the story as if it were brand new. That grief, although difficult, that grief can enlarge and enrich our souls, to give us the deeper capacity to hear that which is most true about us over and over again. That 9-to-5 monotony of the ordinary can drain you, and in fact, it is in that space that we can learn sacred rhythms, sacred ritual, such that driving home, whenever it is that final bell rings, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and driving home as you see the sunset in the west, that 10 minutes of your day may become the most sacred moments of your life. And it is in those spaces that you're able to hear the story new. Maybe you changed your major. Have you ever met anyone who changed their major to psychology? It's like everything is related to psychology now. And it's incredible. This is how we're able to hear the same story anew and afresh. Maybe you just got married. Life is incredible and new, and you're hearing and experiencing the grace of God new each and every day. Maybe you are now finally happily divorced, and you're able to finally hear the grace of God anew and afresh. Maybe you're retired. Maybe you're broke. In each of these seasons and in these spaces, we are able to hear the one true story of faith and hope and love and grace anew each new day. And to be fair, some of this may sound as the most ethereal, pseudo-psychological, fake philosophy that you've ever heard from me, excluding last week's sermon. And for others of us, as you hear this, and if you take the time, your soul might say, yes, that's right. Yes. Each day, each moment, we hear this same story again and again, because the whole thing is about life. The whole story is about what does it mean to be alive, and our lives, the lenses and the tone and the tenor and the color that shades our lives, interprets as we receive life. It is incredible to be alive. And so for the last few minutes, I've been dancing around a single question. Get to the point, Jake. And that question is this: what is at the center of your soul right now? What is at the center of you and your life? That which seems to shade everything you encounter, everything you taste. What is at the center? Each person here, each person alive, is experiencing something of ultimate importance. And as we gather and hear the same sermon and the same story, this bird comes and it perches in our souls and sings alongside of all that fills us and all that is important to us. And so this Monday, I avoided my desk. And on Tuesday, I avoided the sermon. Because it takes a little bit of vulnerability. Good, bad, or ugly, it takes a level of vulnerability to share what fills my mind and what fills my heart, what fills my soul, what is the lens and the experience that seems to shade everything. And on this occasion, it's a good thing. I've been wondering, can I tell you a normal, joyful story about a wild, wonderful, healthy 2-year-old? It is Eva that really has been the primary source of learning and the primary lens in which I have seen the world these last few years, and for this I'm grateful. On Wednesday afternoons, Allison comes about 4:30 p.m., and she goes back and she hides in Ryan's office, and Eva and I, we wander about the church. And believe it or not, the food here is just so incredible that people gather here at 4:30 for a 5 o'clock meal. And so Eva and I, we run around. Eva runs, I chase. She'll play the piano and serenade those who come early. And you know who you are, and I know who you are. We've never run out of food, and you continue to come early. That says something. Often, not always, often, I'll take Eva and I'll go through the double doors there on the right. And Allison, she'll take two adult plates and she'll go through the doors on the left. You see, the doors on the right are for the kiddos and the doors on the left are for the adults. And you see, I can't take Allison through the adult line. I can't take Eva, our daughter, through the adult line. Can't take you anywhere. I will pay for that. And I deserved it. See, if I take Eva through the adult line, at the end of the adult line is chocolate cake. Each and every week as God ordained it. And if I take Eva through the adult line and she sees the chocolate cake, the whole meal's over. So I take Eva through the kiddo line. Allison goes through the adult line, two adult plates, no dessert. So I enter into those two doors there like this. Because as soon as you walk through those doors, right here, very first thing is individually wrapped cookies. Chips Ahoy and Oreos. And if I hold Eva like this, I can grab a cookie and slip it in my back pocket and go through the line awkwardly, just like this. I'm sorry if you sat on that side of the room today. It's your own fault. And I'll get the whole meal. We'll walk out of here. We'll walk out here and find a table and sit in someone's God-ordained seat that they've been sitting in for 30 years. And we'll sit, and Eva will play with her chicken nuggets. She'll play with her pizza for about 10 minutes. She won't eat any of the food. She'll begin to throw a fit. And to keep social graces, as she throws a fit, I'll give her dessert. And if there is a better metaphor for the gospel, I don't know of one. I'll say it again. We sit down to eat. We play with our food, not eating a thing. We begin to throw a fit, and so we receive dessert. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. And where is all this going, Jake? Make a point. So one Wednesday evening, a typical normal Wednesday evening, Eva hasn't eaten her food. She's throwing a fit. I reach out of the back pocket, and I hand to her an Oreo cookie. Now, Cookie Monster is a big deal at our house. Eva, at this point in time, had had many Oreo cookies in her long 2 years of living. Often, she would take the Oreo cookie and just go to town on it. It would be done in clearly moments. But on this one occasion, in this sacred space in which we gather to eat, my daughter took that Oreo cookie and split them. And she discarded the half that had nothing on it and looked at the half that can only come from heaven and began to eat the icing. She went right for the good stuff. She went right for that which is in the middle and in the center. And this is incredible. Because I'm 1,000% certain that I nor Allison taught her how to do that. That is a pro move. Which begs the question, Pastor Cheryl, what are we teaching our children during Sunday school? One of the things I love about our liturgy and about our community is that you all offer the prayers. You all read the scriptures. And this morning, Nat, what a pleasure it is for you to read scripture, to proclaim the word of God here in the community. And as we plan and prepare for worship each week, we consider the scriptures. And it's sort of important for me, at least, not to have a volunteer end on a scripture like Psalm 139. Oh, that the might of God would take the heads of my enemy and bash them against the rock. This is the word of the Lord for the people. Although there may be some tech fans thinking about some Sooners with that scripture, we pray for you. No. If the scripture ends in a rough way, we'll adjust it and we'll let the pastor work through the difficult stuff. The scripture we read today is incredible. It says, pursue a life of righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And an incredible word. The Message translation says, live righteously, which is a life of wonder. Oh my goodness. But you see, right before this word of hope and love, in verse 10, the scripture says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And right after this word of hope and love and kindness and joy, the scripture says, let those who are rich not be conceited and place their faith in the fluctuation of wealth and markets. Maybe Nat would have loved to read those scriptures to you today. I'm not certain. In the Gospel of Mark, this strategy is used often. Sometimes, as is here in the Pauline materials, we have these rough edges, and then we have this part that's in the middle. The technical term is intercalation, which is a chemical term that maybe many of you know. In common terms, it's just a sandwich. Literally speaking, the edges are used to compare and contrast and point towards that which is in the center. And there is certainly much that we can learn, being encouraged not to place our love in money, being encouraged not to place our faith in the fluctuation of wealth. But ultimately, this scripture is asking, what does it mean to be alive? What is at the center of all things? You see, this text is not calling us to live on the edges. Real life is not lived on the edges. Christ calls us forth from the edges of community, from the edges of our souls, to live in the center. See, real life is not about not being greedy. Real life is not about not defending that which is mine. Real life is not about not placing trust in markets. All those negatives, all those edges, real life is life lived in the center. Godliness, righteousness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. This is the way that Christ lived. This is the center. And this is the path to real life. Let's pray together. Remind us again, O God, that which is at the center. Show us again, O God, that you are the center. You are the ground of being. You are the center of the universe. You are the purpose of community. And you are the likeness that we carry deep within us. Rid the negative, the prohibition, the red tape. Shape us more into godliness, righteousness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. May we live as you lived and as you live. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.